Good evening. My name is Dennis Lewin, and this is the second edition of the Dennis Lewin radio program on BBS Internet Radio. With this radio program, every Saturday evening, I will bring you a story about one of the greatest composers or musicians of all time, including Mozart, Bach, Beethoven, Stravinsky, Gershwin, Debussy, and more. For more information about me and this program, please check out my website, www.DennisLewinMusic.com. That's DennisLewinMusic.com, where you can find out information on how to sponsor this program or donate to it. Again, that website address is DennisLewinMusic.com, turning you on to classical music. Today's program will be a good one. For 1 hour, you will hear all about the life and times of the brilliant composer and pianist, Frédéric Chopin. So without further ado, let's get into the story about Chopin on the Dennis Lewin radio program, turning you on to classical music on BBS Internet Radio. Go to DennisLewinMusic.com for more information. In September of 1939, the country of Poland was brutally attacked from the north, south, and west by the Nazi Third Reich, completely forcing Poland to its knees. Whether you know this or not, this was basically the beginning material for the modern-day Polak joke. These jokes came about because the Polish government and society, before the Nazi invasion, took their obligations to beef up their military very lightly. And when the Third Reich came through the corridor, armed with panzer tanks, supported by a blitzkrieg battle plan that included massive airstrikes, the Polish army fought back diligently, only they fought back with cannons, carts, and unprepared infantry, with many of these soldiers on the backs of horses with swords in their hands. And sure enough, in a few short days, it was all over. And as we all know, it was basically a cakewalk or a joke. And although Poland has been beaten up probably as bad or worse than any other country since countries began, the proud Polish heritage lives on with the will to survive. This proud heritage does not live on through short-sighted pompous politicians or intellectual pipe dreamers who leave their countries vulnerable to the hungry beast, as they did with the Nazis. It lives on because of traditional folklore that is passed down through generations, including food, drink, dance, art, literature, architecture, and, of course, music. This musical tradition was proven during the 1939 Nazi assault through the voice of one Polish man who died 100 years earlier. During the final days of the attack on Poland, radio station programmers began to play the music of the great Frédéric Chopin nonstop, 24 hours a day, trying desperately to keep their country's pride and spirits up. After the Nazis seized Warsaw, the last thing that was heard on the radio station was the opening 11 notes of the very famous Chopin Polonaise in A major. When the war ended and Warsaw Radio came back on the air, that same Polonaise was played in its entirety. He confided those inexpressible sorrows to which the pious give vent in their communication with their Maker. What they never say upon their knees, he said in his palpitating compositions. These words about Chopin are from the great Hungarian virtuoso pianist Franz Liszt, who was a friend and rival throughout Chopin's life. Frédéric Franciszek Chopin was born to Nicholas and Justyna Chopin in Jelajowa Wola, Poland, near Warsaw, on March 1, 1810. Previous to new research, it was thought that his birthday was on February 22, 1810. But after music historians checked the parish log that states that Chopin was baptized on April the 23rd, a clear mistake of 1 week was made in the church register. His father, Nicholas, was a schoolteacher from France who eventually moved to Poland and took up employment as a French tutor for the Countess Skarbek's family. Here, Nicholas met the Skarbek's lady-in-waiting, or personal maid, Justyna Krzyżanowska. After a bit of courtship, the two eventually fell in love and were married. The Chopins had 4 children, Ludwika, Isabella, Emilia, and Frederick, their second child and only son. Soon after Frederick's birth, the Chopins moved to Warsaw, where his father became a French professor at the Warsaw Lyceum, and later on, Nicholas opened his own boarding school. Chopin was basically a very happy, sensitive child who was surrounded by a very cultured household. Even at the earliest age, he was magnetized towards the piano, and he would sit at the instrument for hours, desperately trying to create melodies and harmonies. At this young age, Chopin was also a little instigator who loved to imitate and play childish pranks. Sometimes, when he would play or hear a perfect melody on the piano, he would become so overwhelmed that he would begin to weep. This is when Chopin's parents knew that it was time for music instruction. Chopin's mother, Justyna, and her oldest daughter, Ludwika, began to give Chopin piano instruction at the age of 5, as they did for all of the children. But, unlike the other kids, in a short period, the young Frederick surpassed his siblings' talents, and the search began for outside help. In the area where Chopin lived, there really weren't any great piano instructors to select from, so Chopin was left to develop his style on his own, with the help from an immigrant violinist from Bohemia by the name of Adelbert Zwinny. Zwinny taught the child beginning music theory, limited piano, and how to write down his musical ideas. In less than 1 year, the young Chopin made huge strides on the piano, and with his ability to compose, it was at this time that he wrote his first serious composition called The Polonaise in G Minor that would soon be published. From his teacher Zwinny, Chopin acquired a lifelong passion for the music of Mozart and Johann Sebastian Bach. Later on, during Chopin's teaching career, he would pass this Mozart-Bach appreciation and tradition on to his students. Thank you. was the brilliant Vladimir Horowitz performing the Etude No. 5 in G-flat major, Opus 10, also known as the Black Key Etude. You are listening to the Dennis Lewin Radio Program on BBS Internet Radio. For more information about this program, go to www.DennisLewinMusic.com, turning you on to classical music. This next segment is brought to you by the Dean Supply Company, a one-stop shopping emporium for bar supplies, restaurant supplies, food service supplies, restaurant equipment, catering supplies, glassware, kitchen items, janitorial supplies, paper products, and party supplies at the lowest possible prices anywhere. Go to www.deansupplyco.com and order whatever you need without leaving your business or home. That's www.deansupplyco.com. The most important thing that you can do for your body is to replenish it daily with nutrients that naturally diminish the aging process, daily stress, and other various problems. The NutraHealth Company provides its customers with the most efficient and effective quality nutrition and wellness products at the lowest possible prices anywhere. We're talking ROAX, Premier Research Labs, Vitalogix, and Jigsaw Health. So what are you waiting for? Go to NutraHealth's website now at www.nutri.cc and order any of their state-of-the-art supplements. And again, the lowest prices anywhere. That's www.nutri.cc. You are listening to a portrait about the great Frédéric Chopin on the Dennis Lewin Radio Program on BBS Internet Radio. For more information, go to www.DennisLewinMusic.com, turning you on to classical music. By the age of 8 years old, Frédéric Chopin became a serious local celebrity, and the critics were beginning to compare him with Mozart. And with all of this notoriety, Chopin was rapidly becoming Warsaw's child hero. Here Chopin's father is quoted about his gifted son. "He is one of those freaks of nature who seem to be born masters of an activity which in itself could hardly be unnatural." Chopin was also a very clever child, and he was always trying to get the most potential out of his fingers. he would actually sleep with cut-out blocks of wood between his fingers, desperately trying to widen his finger span. No one really knows if this experiment worked, but his determination to become a virtuoso at that young of an age was truly astounding. At the age of 15, Frédéric Chopin entered his father's boarding school to learn academic studies. He also enrolled at the Warsaw Conservatory of Music, and he studied the piano under Joseph Elsner. Elsner was the type of teacher who allowed his students, including Chopin, to follow their own instincts and grow freely within their own artistic idiom. And he did not burden Chopin with laws and rules. On February the 14th, 1818, Frédéric Chopin made his formal public concerto debut, performing the Adalbert Gyrowitz Piano Concerto, a composer who Mozart had admired. Unfortunately, Chopin's mother could not attend the performance because she was too sick. When Chopin came home from the concert, she asked her son how the performance had turned out. Modestly, Chopin answered that the crowd loved his brilliant taste in clothing, especially his English collar. The actual concert review was a grand success, but this humble nature would follow Chopin throughout his entire life. Chopin was a modest person, and he would never allow fame or compliments to go to his head. As far as his presence, Chopin had an impeccable demeanor, and he would never hesitate to bow down to the aristocracy. Chopin's next major work during this time was the Rondo in C minor, which he played at a concert for the Tsar. His performance of the work was so extraordinary, he was given a diamond ring as a reward. At the age of 18, Chopin traveled to Berlin, Germany, to play some concerts. This was the first time that he had ever left his homeland. While in Germany, he began to have visions of performing in Vienna and other cities, but this ambitious aspiration to internationally concertize was not the only reason for traveling away from his home. It was also at this time that he had developed a schoolboy crush on a beautiful soprano singer by the name of Konstantina Gladowska. When he finally got up the nerve to confront Konstantina, he became so shy and so intimidated, Chopin figured the easiest and best thing to do would be to leave Berlin and head for home. Frédéric Chopin graduated from the Warsaw Conservatory in July of 1829 with the highest of honors. And because of this, his father gave him the money that summer to set out on his journey to Vienna. Here in Vienna, Chopin gave two highly successful concerts on August the 11th and August the 18th. This taste of success made Chopin realize that he must make his mark on as many major foreign cities as possible to strengthen his reputation. After returning to Warsaw for a brief period, on November the 2nd, 1830, Frédéric Chopin packed up his life and he decided to leave Warsaw for good. Before he left, his teacher Joseph Elsner performed an original cantata in his honor at a small gathering. He also presented Chopin with an urn of Polish soil and gave him these words to live by, quote, "May you never forget your native land wherever you may go, nor cease to love it with a warm and faithful heart."
You are listening to A Portrait about the great Frédéric Chopin on the Dennis Lewin radio program on BBS Internet Radio. For more information, go to www.DennisLewinMusic.com. Turning you on to classical music. In Chopin's first year in Vienna, he was practically unnoticed, and soon the news came that Poland had risen in revolt against Russian rule. Chopin's first impulse was to return to his homeland and fight with his countrymen. He actually hired a horse-driven carriage to take him back to Poland, but during the carriage ride halfway there, he decided to order the driver back to Vienna. This was because, as a child, Chopin had wanted to serve his country by joining the Polish army, but his mother talked him out of it by making him realize that he was much too frail and sickly for that type of activity. So during his carriage ride back to Vienna, he decided that he would find another way to help his country. He remained in Vienna for 6 months, and soon after this stay, he would head to Stuttgart, Germany. Here in Stuttgart, Chopin heard the horrible news that his country was now under Russian rule. He became so infuriated by the news that he decided that the only way that he could fight back was through his gift of art. It was at this time that he was completing his first set of etudes for the piano. The final etude, C minor number 12 of the Opus 10 collection, is the piece that Chopin wrote in honor of his country's struggle. It is called the Revolutionary Etude. That was the great Vladimir Ashkenazy performing the Etude No. 12, Opus 10, in C minor, better known as the Revolutionary Etude. You are listening to the Dennis Lewin Radio Program on BBS Internet Radio. Go to www.dennislewinmusic.com for more information. The most important thing that you can do for your body is to replenish it daily with nutrients that naturally diminish the aging process, daily stress, and other various problems. The NutraHealth Company provides its customers with the most efficient and effective quality nutrition and wellness products at the lowest possible prices anywhere. We're talking Roex, Premier Research Labs, Vitalogics, and Jigsaw Health. So what are you waiting for? Go to NutraHealth's website now at www.nutri.cc and order any of their state-of-the-art supplements. And again, the lowest prices anywhere. That's www.nutri.cc. This next segment is brought to you by the Dean Supply Company, a one-stop shopping emporium for bar supplies, restaurant supplies, food service supplies, restaurant equipment, catering supplies, glassware, kitchen items, janitorial supplies, paper products, and party supplies at the lowest possible prices anywhere. Go to www.deansupplyco.com and order whatever you need without leaving your business or home. That's www.deansupplyco.com. After his stay in Germany, Frédéric Chopin headed to Paris, France, where his career would become immortalized. Through the influence of the Italian opera composer Luigi Cherubini, Chopin was introduced to the most powerful composers and musicians in Paris, including Felix Mendelssohn, Franz Liszt, Hector Berlioz, and many others. Many of these great composers became so interested in the great Chopin, they arranged for a public performance in Paris. But, to everyone's astonishment, Chopin's debut was a total disaster. His style of playing and approach was too delicate, intimate, and refined for the Parisian appetite. Here a very powerful critic by the name of Fétis writes about the concert. Quote, too much luxuriance, modulations, and disorder in the linking of phrases. But Mendelssohn, Liszt, and a few others were not buying the pounding by the critics. They all knew that what they had just witnessed was something that they had never heard before. It was something so new in every aspect that the Paris musical echelon were convinced that Chopin's musical concept had gone right over everyone's head. But even though he was getting the support from the art community, Chopin became so distraught by the disastrous concert, he decided to give up all plans for any more concerts, and he almost left France to find residence in America. But soon he caught a lucky break when he met the Prince Radziwill. This prince convinced Chopin to come with him to the salon of Baron Jacques de Rothschild, where Chopin performed and conquered. From that initial performance, Frédéric Chopin became the king of salon playing. In these intimate salons, Chopin was able to acquire many piano students, and he was paid very seriously for both performing and teaching. He would also be called into play for the most important intimate social gatherings in Paris. And with this, Chopin's dream came true. Here in these salons, Chopin mingled with the rich and famous. He was constantly in demand by the aristocracy, and they treated him as one of them. And with this, he was now the toast of Paris. His waltzes, nocturnes, polonaises, etudes, and mazurkas were the highlight of the Paris salons. Now there was a legend. That was the great Arthur Rubinstein performing the C-sharp minor waltz, Opus 64, Number 2, by Frédéric Chopin. You are listening to the Dennis Lewin Radio Program on BBS Internet Radio. Go to my website and find out how you can sponsor this program or make a donation to it. It's www.DennisLewinMusic.com. Let's get back to Chopin. In the year 1835, Frédéric Chopin arranged to meet his family in Karlsbad, Germany. While in Karlsbad, he met the Count Franz von Thun Hohenstein. Chopin had taught the Count's daughters piano instruction back in Paris, and as a noble gesture, he invited Chopin and his parents to stay at his family castle. After a pleasant visit with his parents, they returned to Warsaw. Sadly, this would be the last time that Chopin would ever see his parents again. After this, Chopin returned to Paris, and he stayed there for a few weeks. After Paris, he moved on to Leipzig, Germany, where he surrounded himself with some of the greatest musicians of the day, including Felix Mendelssohn, Robert Schumann, and his wife, Clara Wieck Schumann. He stayed in Leipzig for a short while, and on his way back to Paris, Chopin experienced one of the worst bronchial attacks in his life that was so severe, some Polish newspapers began to report that he had died. Chopin would suffer from these bronchial attacks for the rest of his life. Aside from his health problems, Chopin's personal life was also basically a disaster. But soon this would change when Chopin fell in love for the second time. Her name was Maria Wodzinska, the daughter of a count, and he pursued her relentlessly. But, as most wealthy parents do, Maria's father made it crystal clear to Maria and to Chopin that there would be no professional piano players or musicians in his family. But all was not lost, because in the year 1838, Chopin would meet his romantic match. Her name was Aurora Lucie Dupin, Baroness Duvant, or, as we all know her, George Sand. At first, Chopin was completely turned off by this cigar-smoking, modern-day feminist, who usually dressed in men's attire that included a top hat and cane. Here Chopin is quoted
about his first meetings with George Sand. Quote, "What a repellent woman. Is she really a woman?" But after nonstop persistence by George Sand, Chopin unwillingly began to become intrigued with her. He found that she completely understood his art and that she had many brilliant ideas of her own. She once said of Chopin's music that it was the most perfect music ever written because it combined science and art together. The great concert pianist Arthur Rubinstein also described Chopin's music in the same manner, as not telling stories or painting pictures, or being romantic in the Byronic sense, but still, pure art. In the next winter, George Sand's son Maurice became very ill, and Sand decided to take him to Mallorca, Spain, for warmer weather. Chopin decided to follow. But unfortunately, this trip turned out to be a total nightmare. This was because the people who resided in the very religious community of Mallorca were extremely hateful towards them because of Chopin and George Sand's absence from church services. Also, the weather in Mallorca was not all cracked up to what it was supposed to be, and it was colder and damper than usual. And because of this, Chopin became very sick, and he began to experience more bronchial attacks. After a few of these in-public bronchial bouts, matters went from bad to worse when the word began to spread that Chopin was not only sick with bronchitis, it was also being said that the great pianist was battling the very contagious disease of tuberculosis. And with this, fear began to run wild in the streets, and Chopin and the Sands were asked to leave immediately. It is even written that some people even threatened to kill Chopin if he didn't leave. So they packed up and moved to a very dreary 15th century monastery. This place was a complete disaster, and Chopin's health went from bad to worse. Also, during this vacation, Chopin had some problems having his Pleyel grand piano delivered to Spain. After some time, it finally arrived, but it was held at the Spanish customs port for a lengthy period because of some type of import tax. When the piano was finally delivered, he was only able to use it for around 3 weeks. During his stay in Spain, he mostly composed on a junky rented piano. On this firewood piano, Chopin completed his miraculous set of preludes, Opus 28. After a short while, in fear of Chopin's life because of his declining health, they all moved on to Barcelona, Spain, and Marseille, France, where they stayed for a few months so that Chopin could get well. And although Chopin did get a lot better, he never completely recovered from that disastrous Mallorca vacation. From the years 1839 to 1843, Chopin stayed at George Sand's estate in Nohant, France, and they continued their relationship until the year 1847. During these years, Frédéric Chopin wrote some of the most brilliant works for the piano ever written, including two ballades, many waltzes, nocturnes, and his tremendous Piano Sonata No. 3 in B minor. Chopin also continued to teach, but unfortunately, in that year of 1847, Chopin and George Sand's relationship fell apart due to family dissension brought on by George Sand's children, Maurice and Solange. And because of this, Chopin ended up alone and heartbroken for the rest of his short life. Thank you.
Again, the brilliant Arthur Rubinstein performing some of the Ballade in G Minor, Opus 23, Number 1 by Frédéric Chopin. You are listening to the Dennis Lewin Radio Program on BBS Internet Radio. For more information, go to www.dennislewinmusic.com. Turning you on to classical music. On February the 16th, 1 week before the Revolution of 1848, Frédéric Chopin made his last public piano performance in Paris. In April of that year, he traveled to England and performed for Queen Victoria. From there, Chopin went on and performed in Glasgow and Edinburgh, Scotland, and finally returned to London to perform his final piano concert in his life. 1 week later, Chopin returned to Paris in a desperate state of health. Aside from his bouts with bronchitis, he was now suffering from a bad case of tuberculosis. And sadly, he was now so sick that he could no longer work. His sister Ludwika, who had given him his first piano lessons as a child, nursed him at his apartment in Paris. The great Frédéric Chopin died in the early morning of October the 17th, 1849. He was 39 years old. As he had requested before his death, his heart was taken out of his body because he was afraid of being buried alive. It was later taken back to Warsaw by his sister Ludwika in an urn, and it still remains sealed in a pillar at the Holy Cross Church under an inscription from Matthew, the Apostle, that reads, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be." Also by Chopin's request, the Mozart Requiem was performed at his funeral, but the service was delayed for almost 2 weeks due to the Church of the Madeleine's refusal to allow female singers to perform in their church choir. And since the Mozart Requiem mandates major parts to be sung by females, with some political pull, the church allowed the women to sing only if they sang from behind a black velvet curtain. The funeral was attended by almost 3,000 people, and after the service, Chopin was laid to rest at Père Lachaise Cemetery in Paris, with an urn of Polish soil. And ever since that day, for the last 150 years, millions and millions of people from Paris and from all over the world bring flowers to Chopin's grave in bundles every day to show their love for the poet of the piano.